It's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. 10 a.m., 2 p.m. Taking you up. Doing it real big today because the Kings did as they get back on the winning side of things, beating the Blazers in overtime, 121 to 118. And we said yesterday, we don't care how it looks. We just want a W. We just want a beam. And that's exactly what we got. They really pushed the limit on how bad it could look and still get a W. Chris Watkins, who was in the building, got home at about 1:30 a.m. and is still here, ready to rock and roll with us. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, they definitely pushed the limit on what was acceptable in a win yesterday. It was definitely that's about as close as you could get to playing absolutely terribly and still winning a game. So yeah, beggars can't be choosers. I said it. I feel like I've said it 100 times in the past 48 hours, but you gotta just take the win and roll with it, because at this point, with how the Kings were playing these last two games, it didn't matter how it happened. It didn't matter if the final score was 8-4. You got to take that win and move on to the next one, and hopefully take some positive feelings into Friday, where they're gonna play a really hungry OKC team who's gonna come in and try and send a message.
Right, and again, first matchup for the Kings in terms of the in-season tournament. We will see the new jerseys unveiled. Yep. We will see the new court unveiled. I will be in the building. We'll talk a little bit later about my game time with baby girl yesterday. Last night, I showed Chris the videos.
It was adorable.
Feeding her solid for the first time, so we'll talk about that. We also are going to look ahead, like we said, to the Thunder, and we will rank Brock Purdy compared to other quarterbacks as well. And let me just get this out the way right now. 916-339-1140. I posted it. We talked about it on the crosstalk. We talked about it on the crossover. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, right? Because we moved forward. We had a good conversation. But if anybody wants the smoke and anybody wants to have a conversation about the question I asked, and I see you, 916, how dare you disrespect the beam? I didn't know that asking a question was disrespectful. But thank you. You can please call in if you actually want to have a conversation. So we got that going all day. We're not going to spend time on it here, but if you want to call in and have a chat, as the Brits say, when I watch Love Island,
for sure.
You want to have a chat, okay? If you want to have a chat, I'm right here. Nobody's hiding.
Nope.
But we have a loaded show, so we're not going to spend time on it. You know where to find us. All right. So the Kings, Blazers recap, 121-118. Your initial thoughts when I didn't even know Malcolm Brogdon went down.
Yeah,
he just didn't show back up, and you really couldn't tell what was going on. He only played 5 minutes. So at that point, it's just, and Shaedon Sharpe ends up fouling out.
Yeah.
At that point, it's just Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton, who actually played pretty well.
Dominating, man.
I mean,
he was killing it down the stretch.
I remember those mid-ranges when he was on the Suns, but it was kind of early.
That's his bread and butter.
Early on in the game, and he would kind of go, HB Harrison Barnes, we got something for you, and disappear a little bit. But he wasn't disappearing. He showed out in real quick, 7-1-4. We see you. Baja Men almost got Sabonis that triple-double last night. Who let the dogs out? We're not going to play it now. We're going to make you wait for it. But that is something that I think we're going to start here. When the Kings get a W, they've moved on to this DPOG crown.
Yep.
Right? They got the beam. And here on Stiles and Watkins, if you win, we will name our dog of the game. Of the game. Chris is going to have one. Kyle's going to have one. I'm going to have one. And you let us know who is your dog of the game. So that's a little bit later in the show. But getting back to the game last night, Chris, what are your initial takeaways?
I mean, again, first off, you gotta accept the win. It was not a pretty game. That was definitely my first and foremost takeaway. That was one of the harder games to watch for Sacramento Kings basketball, and that's saying a lot, especially with just the history of this team. That was it was a slow paced game in the second half. Really, I thought the first half flowed pretty well, but by the second half, the third quarter really was just back and forth, and two teams just slugging it out in the worst kind of way possible. It was not entertaining. That's definitely the first thing that I would take from it. I think I tallied up the turnovers yesterday with the fouls. There was a combined 93, I believe, or no, 92 fouls and turnovers in yesterday's game. So I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yeah.
It was sloppy on both sides too. It wasn't like the Kings were you know solely to blame or anything like that. It was just a really, really strange game. And again, I'm just really glad that they were able to get the result because it would have, I mean, I can't imagine what today would have been like if the Kings would have played like that
right.
and then also not gotten the result, which, oh yeah, for everybody who watched the game, was really, really close to not going the Kings' way.
Right.
We almost had a heat hot sauce tomorrow.
We were really close, and you talked to Matt George.
I did.
And
we got
were
the
really
hot sauce
close.
Secured.
Hey, if you need the hot sauce, we got it for you. If you didn't listen yesterday, we were going to have to eat that really hot sauce. What's it called again?
The Bomb.
The Bomb hot sauce. We were going to have to eat that tomorrow if the Kings lost, but luckily we do not have to do that. And part of the reason we were going to have to do that is because of a guy named Skylar Mays.
Yeah, I can't tell you anything about Skylar Mays. I literally learned his name yesterday when we were looking at the Blazers roster.
Right.
And I said, I don't think I've ever seen that name before, and I have no idea what college he went to, anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned. Yesterday, I definitely
learned
a lot about Skylar Mays, and I think he earned himself a couple fans yesterday as well because I was just impressed with how he played.
Right.
As a guy who, again, had never seen that guy step on a floor before, I thought his finishing ability was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, yeah, when Brogdon went out, I thought probably much like everybody else did, where I was like, this game's over. There's no way. They don't have anyone to set things up or anything. And Skylar Mays finishes with 18-10, 10
yeah.
assists last night for him. And he almost hit the game winner. So I've got nothing bad to say about Skylar Mays, except for obviously, of course, you would like the Kings to not let a guy like Skylar Mays get going. That's like a – yesterday was really a throwback to like the Kangs years,
yeah.
you know, yesterday you were asking me about the Kangs and yeah, like the Kangs is just kind of when the Kings play basketball games that you've just never seen happen before. Just
right.
weird things happen for Sacramento basketball, and Skylar Mays having a career high 18 points and a career high 10 assists. That's just Kang's basketball. That's exactly what that was. So, yeah, just a really strange night.
Yeah, and how this is going to go is, you know, we don't want to overlook a W. We don't want to overlook a beam because it had been 10 days since we've
That's
last
crazy.
Seen a beam. It was baby's first beam. She was technically asleep, but she was in the area. First
yeah.
time in the 916, so that counts. So we're not going to overlook those things at all, but a little bit later in the show, we do have to talk about pumping the brakes a little bit. And we do have to talk about the fact that without all these guys that the Blazers were missing, you did get to overtime. So as much as we're happy about the W, we will have to bring it back to reality a little bit later in the show and ask the question to you as well, the Beam regime, the Kingdom, 916-339-1140. How you feeling? How you feeling about the game? Are you feeling better about the Kings because of it? Or are you just happy to get a W? And maybe it's just a little bit of both. I mean,
yeah.
Keon Ellis and what he was able to do.
Man.
It's interesting because I'm not sure if starting Keon Ellis, if his play starting is why they
yeah.
won, but how it affected Davion Mitchell.
Right.
How it affected the rest of those guys who felt like, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coach. And you talk about Coach Mike Brown playing chess, not checkers. You have to know. We talked about this a couple days ago. You have to know how to coach different guys,
yeah.
right? You can't coach everybody the same. Whether he meant to do it or not, Coach Mike Brown unlocked Davion Mitchell. That was his best game of the season by far.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I wonder if, you know, we hear a lot about how Mike Brown is so adamant that mm-hmm. Malik, he loves Malik coming off the bench and in that role. I wonder if this might have unlocked that same kind of thought process with Davion, where clearly when he's with that starting unit, it doesn't click. I mean, the Kings have, their offense has been terrible since Davion's entered that starting lineup. So I wonder if Davion's also, honestly, more comfortable with that starting unit. And maybe it's hard. I thought this a lot last year, where it's hard to be inserted into that starting lineup with those guys because there's so many weapons there. It's like, where is it Davion Mitchell taking the shot is the best idea when you have Keegan Murray, when you have Kevin Herter, when you have Sabonis, and even when you have Harrison Barnes, who's shooting as well as he's shooting right now. In that lineup, it's really tough to be like, okay, this is Davion Mitchell time. And I think with that bench unit, with Malik clearly being the head of the snake of that unit, it's really, okay, Malik creates everything. And if you're there, if you're open, if you're another guy on the floor, give us what you got too. And it's not so much as, you know, there's other stars that just make more sense to get the ball. That second unit is a little bit more free in who can kind of have their night. And so, it was great to see Davion have that moment. And I love the fact that he responds that way too. Like, how easy would it have been for Davion to get replaced by a two-way guy, a guy who's, you know, barely scratching NBA minutes at all? And just kind of go out there and either A, be like, coach is so wrong, I'm going to prove him wrong by how well I'm going to play tonight, I'm going to, you know, overexert myself and do too much. Mm-hmm. Or the other way of saying, screw coach. Coach don't want me in the starting lineup. Why am I going to give my 110% for him?
Right, it's so easy to do that. And we all know guys like that from high school or whatever it is, when you go into, you know, you go into a shell. And look, that's the thing about Coach Mike Brown. He is old school.
Yeah.
I'm going with the hot hand. And we bring up high school because he almost coaches in that way. I'm going with who is helping me right now. The end of the game, Keegan Murray was on the floor.
No, he did not play a second of overtime.
I can't play you.
Yeah.
I cannot play you right now. So we'll get into that as well. Again, we're going positives first because that's what you need to do. Yeah. But we do have to look at the reasons why the Kings were in this slugfest or slogfest, mind you, with a undermanned Blazers team. I saw somebody say the Kings are battling with an undermanned lottery team. And that's a negative way to look at it. We ain't getting there yet. It's a long show. We got you till 2 p.m.
We'll get there.
Styles and Watkins, we'll get there. Your calls, your texts. When we get back, Sacktown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, 11th official show. And people are feeling good. I know I am, and I know Chris is.
Yeah.
As we talk about the Kings getting that W, getting that beam at home. And, you know, from watching it on TV, it looked like the crowd was definitely getting into it.
Yep.
I heard some Keegan Murray, so it was great to see. And we will get into the brothers, right? The jersey swap, which was great.
I got to know about the broadcast. How many times it was brought up?
I think it was under. From what I
under
listened,
three.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because it was a little low because the baby was sleeping.
Sure.
But I saw they highlighted the parents a couple times.
Yeah.
When they faced each other and Keegan, it might have went over in that.
In that little
sequence.
Like 5 minute span.
Right, in that sequence. And by the way, and we're going to get into Keegan Murray here at about 11:15, and our dog segment is at 11:30, so you're going to want to be a part of that. Get your dogs ready. I know the 714 is ready. Because Keegan, maybe, and how many threes did he make yesterday? It didn't feel like a ton.
I believe one.
That was the hardest three he took.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was off balance. I'm
shot
thinking,
clock
why
winding
are you even
down.
Shooting that? That was in the backyard. I'm with my brother. I just got my cookies tossed by my brother. He blocked it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna stand for that. And he takes the hardest three he took all day, right? And then he just
drains it.
So good on Keegan. We'll get into Keegan a little bit later on in the show. Let's hear from Mike Brown as he credits Keon Ellis, Kessler, Alex Len, and Davion for their play last night.
Had a lot of really good performances from a lot of different guys. Obviously, Domas is Domas. He had a huge game for us. But to have a guy like Keon Ellis step into the starting lineup, I thought he did a really good job for having not played much at all this season. His composure was great. Defensively, he was really good. And statistically, it might not show up, but he had a big game. I thought Kessler was big in his minutes. You know, he defended and he rebounded. And then I also thought Alex was big in his minutes too. So give those three guys a lot of credit, as well as a guy like Davion Mitchell. I thought Davion, you know, for getting moved to the bench, kept his composure and went out there and found a way to help us win. So a lot of really good individual performances from guys that may or may not used to being what their role was tonight, and you know, finding a way to win in a situation like this was a lot of fun.
Great. That's just great all around.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about some of the guys that you don't expect, and Keon Ellis doing his thing, just like Coach Brown said, and Davion Mitchell. How will you respond? We challenged some people last night or yesterday. How will you respond to just getting smacked in Houston? And a guy that we really asked, and DeAndre Ayton didn't play bad, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say he shut him down or anything like that. But Domantas Sabonis,
yeah.
There's been a lot of conversation. I get texts from my friends saying, man, your boy Chris just rides for Domas. He rides for him. I said, yeah, well, you know, he's loyal. He's loyal to his soil, and I appreciate it.
I'm telling you, it's not loyalty.
Yeah.
I'll call a spade when mm-hmm. I see it. It's just I've seen that man play
right.
too many incredible games to mm-hmm. just throw it away.
Right.
That's really – I mean, and he showed it last night. Like, on a night like last night, I mean – he scored, I believe, 9 of the Kings' first 11 points, was really setting the tone, was incredibly physical with Ayton to start that game. And, you know, yeah, I definitely thought he tailed off a little as the game went on. And, you know, I would say you never really felt as impactful as he did in those first couple minutes. But I thought it was a quintessential Domas Sabonis game, 27 points, 11 boards, and nine assists, just under a triple-double. He's looking more normal, and I think that's – that's great. It's only one game, so I'm not going to say he's officially back, but definitely was good to just kind of see him look normal, and the offense as well just kind of looked a little bit more what we're used to.
Did you notice, and it's so interesting, we talked yesterday about his push shot or somebody on the text line said he kind of flicks
that
it.
That flick of the wrist.
But did you notice how yesterday when he took that midi, he just shot it normally?
Yeah. Yeah, and like
at what point does he decide? Right, does he decide? Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna do push shot, or I'm gonna just normally shoot it? Because it looked completely normal.
Yeah,
it looked completely. Domas, mm-hmm. just do that.
Yeah,
just do that.
No, I love the confidence that he took that with too, mm-hmm. because it was DeAndre Ayton was closing out. Normally, when he takes that shot, it's when he almost like has a second to be like, oh, okay, no one's gonna step out and guard me. Well, like, yeah, I'll take it. But with that shot, if we're thinking about the same shot, like. No hesitation at all, just pulled it. Ayton was closing out on him, and he drilled it. Like, it wasn't even like the you know, the shot that he took at the end of the Warrior game where you know, he hits it off the glass, and it just didn't look like it stood a chance. It was pure. He looked confident. He looked comfortable. And, again, that's a really great thing to see. I heard Whitey and Draper talking about yesterday earlier in their show. Whitey was talking about how he wanted to see Domas really utilize that jump shot and use it to kind of pull defenders out so that they're not sagging off into the paint anymore and messing up his passing lanes. And, I was shocked to see Domas use that moment yesterday to pull that shot. But I think that's just – it's going to be a part of the development throughout this season, and I think – hitting that shot's going to be big for him kind of getting out of this slump right now. Because, I just think a lot of people are watching tape and taking notes and seeing what other teams, specifically the Warriors, did to bother Sabonis. And I think a lot of people are doing different versions of that.
Yeah, and I don't think it's specifically a Sabonis thing.
No.
I think that with big men, that's just what you typically do.
If teammates hit shots, it makes his life a lot easier.
Right. I think it's – and you mentioned this yesterday. I think it's incredibly – more important for him to have that jump shot with De'Aaron Fox out, right? Because you're just looking for some type of escape valve, and you just don't have it right now when you don't have De'Aaron. And by the way, we're hopefully going to have an update on De'Aaron Fox later in the show, because them Thunder, I'm very high on the Thunder. But we're not doing that now. We're not doing that now. We are doing that later in the show. Right now, it is all positive because we are just happy that we have seen a beam. We had not seen a beam in 10 whole days.
It felt like it.
It did.
Doesn't it feel like a little bit like we're in a desert when there's no beam? And it's like the beam is almost like a water. Like it's a little bit like a life raft. It's just like, oh my, you just kind of never feel like you're going to see it again. And then I'm telling you, man, every time it gets lit up, it hits. It
again?
Hits every single time.
And I see you on the YouTube chat as well, coming in from the break, and it was Eric S. I hope Styles enjoyed the beam last night. I always enjoy the beam. I always enjoy the beam. You know that, and I know you're just messing around as we break down the Kings winning 121-118. And Malik Monk was a guy who, you talk about Davion going to the bench and how you respond from that. Malik Monk, and he talks about, we can get the sound for you as well. He talks about his supreme confidence.
Yeah.
And how he is confident no matter what. Because to go 0-for-7, I mean, I know shooters shoot, but he was just not, he did not let that deter him at all.
No, not at all. And I didn't even realize, I honest to God did not realize until I was on my way home listening to Mike Brown's press conference, I didn't realize Malik Monk was 4 of 16 last night.
Right.
I had no idea. I knew he wasn't shooting well from the perimeter, but I didn't know he was 4 of 16 because, you know, when I did my, I'm going to do another plug, the YouTube post-game show, I gave Malik Monk my 3 stars of the game. I was like, this was the best player for the Kings tonight. And I don't think I would have done that if I knew he was 4 of 16 just looking at the box score. And I think that's just, that's a testament to how well Malik played through the shooting slump. Like, he wasn't afraid. And you talk about, his level of confidence. How many guys, when you're 4 of 16, are going to still take enough shots still to go to the line 19 times?
Right.
Like, that's incredible. That means that it didn't matter if he was playing through contact or not. He was putting up shots that he felt like were good shots. And, you know, shout out him also for missing 4 straight free throws and then just completely turning that around and hitting 14 in a row.
Yeah.
And they needed every single one of them, especially down the stretch. It was an incredible game from Malik Monk. And I don't know, again, just to kind of add to how weird yesterday was, I don't think I've ever seen somebody have, like, box score-wise that poor of a performance, I guess you could say, but eye test wise, just have it be the complete opposite.
Right, and where are you at? Because I'm looking at here at the box score as well. Where are you at with plus or minus? Because I know plus or minus for a singular game,
misleading. Yeah, it's a good tool if you utilize it correctly. Mm-hmm. Like if you just use it as an everyday blanket statement. Like let's see here, let's look at this box score. So you know Sabonis -5. Like was Monis Sabonis really, you know, that's the second lowest minus on the team. Like, I wouldn't say that Demontis Sabonis was a negative yesterday. I wouldn't say that the Kings were worse for having him on the floor yesterday, but it's useful if you're going to do, you know, how did the Warriors, you know, the non-Steph Curry minutes. I think in that sense, it's helpful because it says, okay, when Steph is on, you guys are winning by 15 points, but you know, the overall result of the game is you guys lost by 10. So that means you guys were a minus 25 when Steph wasn't on the floor. Right. So in that sense, I think it's helpful, but it shouldn't be just a blanket every time. Like you said, it shouldn't be a game by game. Look at it and it'll tell you things.
Keon Ellis, a -4. And it definitely didn't feel like that with 3 steals and got a little bit of Skywalker in him.
Keegan threw that up. Oh my gosh. I think everybody in the collective arena was silent as that ball was in the air because just the most unlikely lob connection I think we'll ever see.
Not on anybody's bingo card, but I'll tell you what, that really, I'm sure, brought the house down and you could feel it even watching on the broadcast. Got to get to a break. When we get back, was that good basketball or bad basketball? Does it matter? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., 11th official show. And it is, what number show is it celebrating a victory?
I think third? This is
third. I mean, it would have to be the third, right? Show celebrating a victory.
That's so, right. Your guys' first show was after the Jazz win.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So we are getting the mojo right. We are getting the vibes right as the Kings get a beam. And we are all enjoying it. They beat the Blazers 121-118. Breaking down how that game went. Malik Monk at 11:30. We'll have our dog segment. Get your dogs ready. 916-339-1140. Text line, call line, YouTube chat. Get your dogs ready. I have an idea of who Chris's dog is, but we're going to wait for that. A little later in the show, we will break down not the negatives, but just, hey, we'll pump the brakes a little bit. We'll get a little bit more realistic with what we saw. And back by popular demand, we will play how many minutes did Harrison Barnes play?
Oh, yeah.
They want to play it. Mm-hmm. We are a show of the people, so we will play how many minutes did Harrison Barnes play. No disrespect to that man whatsoever. And by the way, now that we are chatting about that, we had a conversation, and Jeremy Grant make $7 million more than Harrison Barnes a year.
Yes, he does.
Yesterday, Chris, you said, I don't see it.
Yeah.
How about now?
I still don't see it. I mean, to me, that's what Harrison Barnes looked like when he was on the Dallas Mavericks.
No, it's not.
I mean, my bigger point still stands of, like, Jeremy Grant, that's great that he does that. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I don't ever say Harrison Barnes is a bad player. My problem is when this guy is your second or third best player, you're still not going to win anything. That's my point. I'm not saying he's not talented.
I would say third.
If he's your third player, I just don't think that that's really doing much.
I think you can win something with him as your third, the way he's been playing. Now, whether you think the way he's playing is sustainable is another question. But if he keeps playing like this, you can win something.
Sure. I mean, yeah, if he has 38 points and
I'm not saying 38 like that. He's been the last couple years here.
Yeah.
He's been doing some things.
He puts up numbers for sure, but again, like he's never really been a player who puts up numbers in a winning situation. Like if you look at every situation he's been in, unless he's been like a real like off the bench role player, like again, way, way early in his career.
Right.
Ever since he started collecting checks with the Pistons and with the Blazers, and I believe he was collecting checks with somebody else as well. He's never been in a winning situation. I don't think he's been on a playoff team since being paid. So I can't realistically say that he's going to impact winning when he's been second or third stars on all these teams that haven't had success.
But I don't think he was. No, but I don't think he's been anything more than a third star on these teams.
Yeah, and that's why I think he. I think that's his cap, and like I think his cap is being that third star. Like I think he's. I think if he's anything more than your third star, I think you're just not going anywhere. I think if he is your third star, you can potentially make the playoffs depending on who the other two guys are, of course. But with where he's being paid at, especially now, I mean, I'm just good off Jeremy Grant.
So you're correct. 2020 was the last time he played a playoff series, but he also wasn't starting on that Nuggets team.
There you go.
The last time he was on a playoff team and a starter was 2019 OKC, which was famously when Damian Lillard waved bye-bye to the Thunder.
Mm. Okay, so he's making $27 million a year. Harrison is making 20.
Yeah, like 17 or 18.
Okay.
Also, over the life of his contract, he's going to make $32 million a year.
A lot.
Jeremy Grant.
Got that dog
a lot. That's a lot.
He's making
of
27 this year, but it's going up and up.
Okay.
That's a lot of moolah.
Okay, now hear me out now.
Uh-huh.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Contracts as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Just a nice, hey, Blazers call, hey, Chris. Yeah.
Yes.
The new GM. All right. Or Monty, you're Monty.
How's it going?
Hey, Puffy how you days. Doing? I hope you're having a lovely day.
Yeah.
We need some leadership in our in our locker room, okay? And, you know, we'd love to just do a clean swap, salary for salary. Harrison Barnes for our guy, Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
What say you?
I just think it's too much money. I think that it. I think that him making that dollar figure affects, because the pay gap of Harrison Barnes to Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
Is pretty much a Malik Monk contract. So I would much rather have Harrison Barnes and Malik Monk than just balling out on Jeremy Grant.
You're saying if they got Jeremy Grant, they'd have to move off of Malik? Not this season.
No, I'm just saying like Malik makes like $9.5 million. So I'm saying if you put the $9.5 million with Harrison's 17, that equals one Jeremy Grant. And as a GM who's building out assets, I'm just saying in terms of I have $27 million budget.
Yeah.
I would much rather use it on two pieces than this one that I think you get more production out of the combined two pieces than the one.
So you're saying, and help me out
it's
with the math.
It's just a better value proposition.
I need my TI 84 here, right? Yes. I'm playing Snake and all those games.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not using it for actual math.
No, never that. Never that. Mom, I need my new TI 84 plus.
So
I
you
need
can
the gray
write
one.
Things.
Yes,
you can
I need the gray one.
Text messages and
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so a different version of what you're saying is you like Harrison Barnes and Malik Monk at 27 more than you like Jeremy Grant and Malik Monk at, and here's the new, that would be 9 plus 27, right? Yeah. So what, 36?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and so the Kings wouldn't have to actually give up a player to match salaries because they still have the trade exception from the Rashawn Holmes trade, so they can just like slide that exception in and make the deal work. So they could realistically do a one-for-one swap.
They could do it.
Sure.
But then they wouldn't have that trade exception if they wanted to big fish hunt for someone else.
Right. And
that's my thing, is that it just, the way that it hamstrings you isn't worth the juice. It's just the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
All right. You don't want Donovan Mitchell.
No, I don't.
I definitely don't want Jeremy Donovan Mitchell. I'm going to find somebody that you would
I
would like.
I like
what about Bobby Portis?
I like more on the fringe guys.
What about Bobby Portis?
I would have to look at his number. I would really have to look at how much money he makes. But I don't think, again, he feels like a guy who probably makes more money than what his value is. Like, as a GM, maybe it's I've played too much 2K in my life.
It sounds like
I'm not trying to pay guys market. To me, as a GM, the goal is to get guys under market value.
Okay.
That's the goal. Like, I'm not, it's great to pay Sabonis what he's worth, his $30 million.
Right.
But I like Sabonis at $20 million a lot more than I like Sabonis at $30 million.
Sure.
It just, it really, it just changes the mindset. Like Harrison Barnes, the past 4 years has been the Kings' highest paid player. That was an issue. And that's what I was screaming from the rooftops. It's not that Harrison wasn't a good player or didn't deserve that money, but it was just when you're getting paid the dollar figure you are, it changes the perception of what is expected of you. And I think now the number that Harrison's at
matches
the level of production I think we can expect from him, and everything else, the 33 points is gravy in opening night. Like, we're paying for Harrison Barnes more so at market value than guys like Kyle Kuzma, who ended up getting $23 million per year, Jeremy Grant, who ended up getting $27 million per year. It's just, it, like, you got to factor, for me at least, you have to factor in money into how you look at these players, because that's kind of how all the GMs look at it as well.
Basically, you're saying if all these guys are in similar tiers, even if Harrison is in a lower section of that tier, you like that price tag better than overpaying for the top of that tier. Because none of these guys are tier one
flexibility
guys.
Give me market flexibility always. Always.
I think Chris might actually be a GM here.
I'm just saying. No. Hire me.
Like, but he also doesn't want Donovan Mitchell.
I don't want Donovan Mitchell. Of course I don't want Donovan Mitchell.
I don't know
Mitchell.
If I want Donovan Mitchell.
What?
What has Donovan Mitchell done?
Donovan Mitchell is an all-NBA player.
So is Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have to trade him to get Donovan Mitchell.
No, I just mean, like, just because you have an all-NBA player, like, it doesn't mean
that's three
really
all-stars on the Kings. That would be awesome. If we
already did this, Kyle. We did this a couple days ago.
I won't bring this up. Yeah, I'm a big Donovan Mitchell guy.
We know. Wait for all-star break. We'll do it during all-star break, and we'll get it going that way. Got to get to a break. When we get back, feel better about the Kings? Feel better about what they got going? Or did they just beat an undermanned lottery team? Man, that sounds rough. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We are off and running. I know yesterday was Wasabi Wednesday, but we're a little spicy here today. Because why not? It's a throwback Thursday, too. I don't know if you saw, I posted, I was listening to a little bit of throwback Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, no, I did see that.
He was going to be, I don't know about the GOAT, but I mean, some of the bars that he had back in the day, they were outstanding. Crazy. And then it turned into Wiz likes to do one thing and likes to talk about that one thing.
He likes to light the beam.
All the time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wiz.
Yeah.
And here's another.
Would you be surprised if I told you that Wiz Khalifa was my first concert I ever went to? At Bill Graham Civic Auditorium.
Wow, you mobbed to the city, huh?
I did. It was a great. Rachel, I got to see Big Sean open for him, and it was like a week after Finally Famous came
out.
Were we at the same show?
We were at the same show. That was what, like 2016 or something?
No, it was probably 2013, maybe 2012.
We were at the same show.
Yeah. It was like literally when Wiz's first album,
that's
very
insane.
Much disliked all of Wiz's first
Look
album,
at us.
Albums. Look at us.
All these years later.
Wow.
That is actually incredible.
It's really weird.
Wow.
I was probably like 14.
Yeah. And I have a picture with one of the guys that is now texting me about you and your love of Sabonis. Wow.
That was a great show.
That is
Chevy
outstanding.
Woods. You had Big Sean.
That is so funny.
That's crazy.
Small world.
Shout out Bill Graham.
Yeah.
Great place. See you at the show.
Yeah, it is. Small world, big beam. And that's what we got to see. That's what we got to see last night as the Kings beat the Blazers 121-118, led by the head dog, Malik Monk. Mm. And as we talked about, get ready, get set. 11:30 will be our dog segment. Get your dogs. Who is your dog? 916-339-1140 to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And the question now is, you have a night where the Lakers get smacked by the Rockets that are probably going to win the West.
Yeah, at this rate.
The Rockets are going to win the
by
West.
By like 40 points.
And the Kings win a very gritty game. It was not aesthetically pleasing, but they get the W. I Ask the Kingdom, I Ask the Beam Regime, 916-339-1140, call line, text line, YouTube chat. How much better do you feel about the Kings on a day like today?
Marginally. Like, you know, I can't act like...
Chris, we're supposed to do another hour.
I'm sorry. It's just I can't act like... Yeah. You know, I didn't get to do Wet Blanket Wednesday yesterday.
That's true.
So I gotta kind of, you know, throw some on today. It's just like I can't... It's hard for me to feel like the Kings have turned a corner. Mm-hmm. Like, after beating... We can be harsh about it. It's okay. After beating a low-level lottery team last night in overtime... They didn't have three of their players...
Hold on. Because, you know, yesterday we were talking about food a little bit.
Yeah.
And also resumes. When you want to make your resume look good.
Yes.
Let's try to do this in a different way.
Okay. Because
we're still positive until about 11, 11:30.
So we're going to go BCS style where we try and hype up all of the wins.
Let's try to describe the Blazers to make the win sound outstanding. Let's try. I'm pulling them up right now.
Okay, for sure. Former number one pick DeAndre Ayton.
They beat a team with a former number one pick in DeAndre Ayton, who's got something to prove.
Something to prove, big time.
Jeremy Grant, who is your do-it-all. Dude,
he heard me yesterday. That's
he heard you
he's
yesterday.
He's averaged 20 points a game for four seasons.
Dude, he's averaging 38 points per game against the Kings this year.
He dropped 38. He almost dropped a 40-burger. Yeah. You have Shaedon Sharpe, who's one of the best up-and-coming guards in the league.
Well, let's not forget that they game plan for Malcolm Brogdon,
right?
And then he just leaves. And then it's like, we don't have anything on this guy, Skylar Mays.
Oh, rookie of the year front runner, Skylar Mays,
who's also shut down defensively.
I kind of want to say that's the most assists a rookie has had this year. I don't know it. I haven't checked it, but I'm going to say
11,
it.
Actually.
I'm going to say it.
Elite defender on the wing, Matisse Thybulle.
Who just got dropped off from an Eastern Conference juggernaut
the
in
Kings
the 76ers.
Survived a game where Matisse Thybulle had 13 points. You're not going to win a lot of games
he
with Matisse
He was whapping
Thybulle,
those threes
you know, when he,
out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
you know.
Pump the brakes a little bit, Chris. You should feel a little bit better.
You
should feel a little bit better.
I'm starting to feel it. I'm really starting to feel
it. Am I convincing you?
No.
You know,
but
like
it
we
sounds
said,
good.
No, but like we said, right, if I on Chopped or any of these cooking shows, you know, I forgot when they forget to do something, it always becomes deconstructed.
Oh, it's the worst.
Right? So the tortillas have broken. Yeah, Judge, today I've done for you a deconstructed chicken taco with fried tortilla chips. And it's just because the tortilla ripped.
Yep.
That's what we're doing right now. And it worked. Is it working, Kyle? Is it working?
I don't think so.
Depends. I mean, I'm ecstatic about the Kings winning. It was a very entertaining game, but also Portland is the worst team in the Western Conference. They will be.
That.
I mean, well, San Antonio might be worse than them, but those are the two worst teams in the West.
But I will say, in all seriousness, I think it's the thing about what's going on with the Rockets right now. Remember last season how the Jazz got off to that hot start?
They got off to a great start.
This could be the Rockets doing their best Jazz impression. Or Ime Udoka and the crew, they spent a lot of money. I mean, they're almost the land of misfit toys in a way. Dylan Brooks, we will not be continuing with you. Fred VanVleet is still created generational wealth from that 2019 finals, right? So a lot of guys that maybe feel like, hey, people don't believe in us. Jalen Green thinks every game is an AAU game, right? So a lot of guys don't believe in them. Şengün is probably the most up-and-comer that people respect, I would say, the most on that team. So we could look back at that Rockets series, and although it was still embarrassing, it might not look as bad as it does right now.
Yeah, it might look justifiable, which I think is what the most that we can hope for. And, you know, the Rockets look legitimately good right now. I would not say that they look like legitimate contenders or anything like that.
Are you doing the thing where you hype up the Rockets now?
Dude, they won four straight in a row.
They just beat AD.
AD was out.
They did not beat AD.
The margin of victory for their past three games has been like you can't just gloss over that. Like that, especially
at
this point in the year.
Teams.
Like they smacked the Kings twice, and that's not nothing. Now, you know, whatever. They didn't have De'Aaron, but they didn't have De'Aaron against the Warriors, and they still looked okay. So the fact that Houston made the Kings look like that.
Well,
and
now
then,
you're not helping. Because now Houston beat the Kings twice with no Fox.
Sure.
And they beat the Lakers with no AD.
I mean, but that doesn't... the Blazers didn't have any of their guys yesterday. They still put up a good fight.
Yeah.
Just because you don't have stars, and please, I hope the Sacramento Kings are listening, just because you don't have your stars doesn't mean you have to play like garbage. You can still play. You can still surprise teams. You can still, you know, look like a competent NBA team. It's a possible thing that other teams do. I think the Rockets look great for where they're at right now. Yeah, of course, it can all flip, but I don't really know why we should believe that it won't, besides the fact that, oh yeah, they're Houston. They're going to suck. But it's like, Ime is a great, a fantastic coach.
You know what? I think this is fair, right? When you talk about the basement, and we know with the play-in, a lot more teams have an opportunity.
Yeah.
The Rockets are probably, at the beginning of the season, we thought the Rockets were going to be in the basement. It is very possible that the Rockets make the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yes.
That's
absolutely
fair.
Yeah, especially as like a 9 or 10.
And getting smacked
where
twice.
Where OKC was last year.
Right.
And last time I checked, we all thought OKC was fun last year. Thought OKC was good last year. We thought OKC was trending towards having a good season the following season, i.e. this year.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't that be Houston this year? Why can't Houston win 41, 42 games? And yeah, it's not 50.
Right.
It's not anything crazy impressive, but why can't they take a significant step forward towards being an average team and, you know, lead to further success? It seems crazy now. I mean,
right.
The way they're playing right now, it seems to that make a lot more sense than anything else.
We should be the people who start the campaign for getting Dylan Brooks in the three-point contest, too.
Oh, man.
Because he's shooting like 55% from three.
Now, that is not scalable. There are a couple things I believe in with the Rockets. That stat?
That thing is
dropping. I do not. Yep. But here's the thing. And this is why it's so funny how perception is everything in life,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the Mavs missed the play-in mm-hmm. last season. But if the Kings got smacked to Luka and Kyrie last season, people would say, well, it's Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah.
They didn't even make the play-in. If the Rockets make the play-in, we would look back, because it's the Rockets and they're perceived to not be a good team, we would look back and say, oh, man, that's so bad. But then you would say, well, they got smacked by a play-in team, which isn't great. They didn't have their guy.
Right.
One, that just showed us how reliant the Kings are. I think it was an eye-opener for how reliant the Kings are on De'Aaron Fox, which is a little scary.
Could it also be an eye-opener to the first real sign that the Kings have that this is not the same Western Conference it was last year?
That's
like,
a
it's
great
even
point.
Deeper than it was last year. Like,
yeah.
there's nobody that's really it's kind of a flat line for a lot of teams. Like, sure, you'll play your peaks of Denver mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe Phoenix on the right night or the Golden State on the right night, but, you know, you're very rarely going to have the valleys of playing teams like Portland, Houston. Like,
you needed that.
It's kind of just a strong flat line of OKC's, maybe Utah's a little bit down, but you get what I'm saying. There's a lot of really solid teams in the Western Conference that you just can't bank on win. You can't bank on wins on anyone anymore. It's just everyone is so competitive in the West. I think it's a great sign, or that's more of what it's a sign of.
And I think you make a good point here as we get to a break, because the West is so deep. Even when you have those off nights, shout out Davion Mitchell.
Yeah.
Even when you have those off nights, you could get got because you're so tired. Not to say that the Kings were, but they don't have De'Aaron Fox, and you know it was a rough go there in Houston. You're so tired from playing all the good teams that when it's time for an off night,
right.
you got to deal with these scrappy teams that are thinking. I mean, last night, if you're the Blazers, you're thinking these dudes just lost to the Rockets twice.
Twice, yeah.
We got some action here, mm-hmm. even if we're missing our guys, Jeremy Grant, you're not getting paid for no reason. Shaedon Sharpe, you're an up-and-comer. So there are no off nights in the West. So you just got to be thankful for the win. But as we get closer to the 11 o'clock hour here, the question is, how good should you feel about it? Because the Thunder, another good team, another up-and-coming team that you would put in that Kings category from last season. Let's see what they got for you when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.